Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello again, and welcome to As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans in Washington. Today on the program, we will have a story on India's weapons industry. But first, pirates off the coast of Somalia made big news a few years ago. But the waters of the West Indian Ocean are not the world's most dangerous for pirate attacks right now. The most dangerous seas are those of Southeast Asia. The International Maritime Bureau released a report on sea pirates this week. The IMB says more than half of all sea pirate attacks since the beginning of 2015 have been in Southeast Asia. Potengal Mukundan is the director of the IMB. He tells VOA that armed pirates attack small oil ships in the area about every 2 weeks.
It is a disturbing trend because if firm action is not taken, then we expect that the violence will increase and the pirates will get a little more audacious in the kind of targets that they will look for.
The IMB director says the small tankers moving slowly along Southeast Asian coast are also vulnerable because they sit low in the water.
The hijackers approach the vessel in very fast skiffs. They take over the ship and then they siphon or steal part of the cargo on board, usually marine gas oil, diesel oil, and that kind of product, which can be very quickly disposed of locally.
Almost 40% of pirate attacks this year have been off the coast of Indonesia. But armed robbery attacks are increasing around Vietnam. In the last 3 months, Vietnamese officials have reported 8 incidents. Pirates are breaking into ships stopped in and around Haiphong and Vung Tau. In contrast, no incidents have been reported this year in Somalia. The last reported hijacking in those waters was in May 2012. Officials say pirates are not attacking Somalia for several reasons. The country now has a functioning government, a multinational naval patrol, and anti-piracy measures, including onboard armed guards. But Potengal Mukundan of the IMB warns it would be very easy for the situation to return to the bad old days.
All it takes is one successful hijacking, and suddenly people will get interested once more in this criminal activity. So we've got to be watchful, the ships have got to be vigilant, and we need the navies there.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. India is one of the world's biggest importers of weapons. Now it wants to expand its weapons industry and supply them to other nations. The United States supports the move for economic and strategic reasons. But as we hear from Jim Tedder, India's dependence on imported weapons is unlikely to change soon.
Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi recently pointed out that India imports nearly 60% of its defense needs. In fact, a new report by the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, SIPRI, finds that India was the world's biggest arms importer in the last 5 years. Mr. Modi wants to change that. He is urging a Made in India policy that extends to the country's defense needs. He has even said the country should try to export weapons. The United States is already partnering with India to produce weapons with Indian companies. For example, the U.S.-based Lockheed Martin Company joined with India's Tata Advanced Systems to produce parts for the C-130J Super Hercules plane. Rahul Madhavan is the Director of Aerospace and Defense with the U.S.-India Business Council. He says the Defense Trade and Technology Initiative is a sign of change. That program calls for U.S. and Indian defense firms to produce weapons together rather than continue the buyer-seller relationship. Mr. Madhavan said the program is a sign of the power the U.S. sees in the Indian market. You can look at India as an export market for the world. Make with India, not just make in India, he says. Similarly, Sweden's Saab is trying to sell their light single-engine Gripen planes to India's Air Force. Saab is proposing to produce the Gripen in India with a local partner. The push to develop India's defense industry comes as China's defense exports are growing. Currently, the U.S. remains the largest weapons exporter. However, the SIPRI report says China was the third largest weapons exporter between 2010 and 2014. And the report says China's weapons exports are growing quickly. The weapons are heading to Pakistan, Bangladesh, Myanmar, and many African countries. Weapons exports are more than just trade deals. John Gravatt of the Defense Intelligence Group IHS Jane's says China's growth in exports has also increased its strategic influence or power. Mr. Gravatt says many of China's customers are economically challenged countries and must rely on China until they pay for the cost of the weapons. A more powerful China is a concern for India and the U.S., says Lisa Curtis, a senior researcher at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. Ms. Curtis says the U.S. sees India's growing defense budget as a way to balance China. But many experts are asking whether India's defense industry can really challenge China's export business and political weight. Some foreign policy experts believe that, despite U.S. interest in helping the Indian defense industry grow, a weak Indian defense industry makes this unlikely. After all, India has been trying to develop its defense industry since the 1950s, well before China. One reason India's defense industry is slow to grow is restrictive policies. A law limits the level of foreign ownership in a defense partnership to 49%. In other words, a U.S. defense firm would not have a majority share in the company. Mr. Madhavan of the U.S.-India Business Council says U.S. companies will want to have control of the intellectual property. Billions of dollars of taxpayer money is invested into research and engineering, he says. Most industry experts do not think India will be a major player in global weapons exports soon. In fact, John Gravatt of IHS Jane's says India's weapons export business will struggle in the global market for many years to come. I'm Jim Tedder.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow for another As It Is. I'm Jonathan Evans. Thanks for listening.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. The European Union announced its intention to increase funding for search and rescue efforts at sea after an emergency meeting in Brussels, Belgium. Also, French President François Hollande said he will seek a resolution at the United Nations. He said the resolution would authorize the EU to destroy boats used by smugglers to take thousands of migrants from North Africa to Europe. The EU officials were reacting to the sinking of a boat carrying migrants off the coast of Libya on April 19th, drowning hundreds of people. The United Nations Refugee Agency praised EU plans to increase funding for rescue efforts in the Mediterranean Sea. The UN High Commission for Refugees said that the decision to increase rescue operations is an important first step toward collective European action. But it said the main issue for refugee safety is access to asylum when fleeing violence from their countries. European investigators are still trying to discover why a ship carrying migrants sunk off the Libyan coast on Sunday. Officials believe at least 800 migrants died when the wooden fishing boat sank. On the island of Malta on Thursday, the bodies of 24 people who died in the sinking were buried. They are the only bodies that have been found. The boat sank with the other migrants trapped inside. About 28 people survived the sinking. Most of them are from sub-Saharan Africa, Bangladesh, and Tunisia. Italian police arrested the ship's 27-year-old captain, who is from Tunisia. They said he mistakenly crashed his boat into a Portuguese ship that was trying to aid his ship. The captain was in court on Friday in the Italian city of Catania to hear the charges government lawyers plan to bring against him. Thousands of migrants from North Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia have already entered European countries this year after fleeing conflict and hardship. The International Organization for Migration says 1,727 migrants have died so far this year. More than 200,000 migrants made the dangerous trip across the Mediterranean Sea in 2014. Officials say more than 3,200 died as they tried to escape poverty, war, and repression. The number of migrant deaths has risen sharply in the past 12 months. Experts predict it will continue to increase unless actions are taken to stop the migrants from leaving their countries. The International Organization for Migration predicts the number of dead could reach 30,000 by the end of this year. Dimitris Avramopoulos is the top EU migration official. Earlier this week, he said, "We will take action now. Europe is declaring war on smugglers." On Thursday, German Chancellor Angela Merkel said action must be taken to stop smugglers from turning the Mediterranean Sea into a graveyard. European Council President Donald Tusk said saving lives of innocent people is, in his words, the number one priority for us. But saving lives is not only about rescuing people at sea. It is also about fighting smugglers and preventing illegal migration flows. First, we need to crack down on the human smugglers. We have to break up their networks and to undermine their business model, he said. Last year, the EU ended a search and rescue program because of its cost. Officials also worried that it was encouraging more migrants to try to cross the Mediterranean. Some EU leaders have said the best way to keep migrants from drowning is to keep migrant boats from leaving Africa in the first place. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Today, we complete the story Benito Sereno, written by Herman Melville. As we told you in earlier parts of our story, rebel slaves seized the ship San Dominic off the coast of Chile. They killed many of its officers and crew. The captain, Benito Sereno, was ordered to sail to Senegal. But first, he was forced to take the ship to the lonely island of Santa Maria, near the southern end of Chile. There, it could safely get water and supplies for the long, dangerous voyage to Africa. At the island, the rebels were surprised and frightened when they found an American ship anchored in the harbor. It also had stopped for water. Many of the rebels wanted to sail away, but their leader, Babo, opposed it. They had little food and water and could not go far. Babo created a story to keep anyone from suspecting that the Spanish vessel was in the hands of rebels and that its captain was a prisoner. At first, Babo seemed successful. The captain of the American ship, Amasa Delano, visited the San Dominic. He suspected nothing, although he was surprised by the general disorder on board. He also could not understand the strange behavior of its captain, Benito Sereno. Later incidents, however, began to worry him. Captain Delano grew more and more suspicious. At one time, he even feared that his life might be in danger. Twice, he caught the Spanish captain and his servant, Babo, with their heads together, whispering like two conspirators. It made Captain Delano wonder, were they plotting to kill him and seize his ship? Who were these men? Cutthroats? Pirates? Captain Delano grew nervous. Then he was happy to see his whaleboat off in the distance. It was returning with supplies for the Spanish ship. The sight of his boat calmed him. It made his suspicions and fear quickly disappear. He felt foolish for having had such dark thoughts. Now, here is Shep O'Neill with the rest of our story, Benito Sereno.
Captain Delano went down to Captain Sereno's cabin to cheer him up and say goodbye. "Better and better, Don Benito," he said as he entered the cabin. "Your troubles will soon be over." The American invited the Spanish captain to come aboard his boat for a cup of coffee. Sereno's eyes brightened, but then the light in them died. He shook his head and said he could not accept the invitation. Captain Delano was offended. He was about to withdraw when Don Benito rose from his chair and took Delano's hand. The Spaniard's hand shook, and he was too excited to speak. Delano pulled his hand away and turned, climbing back to the deck. His face was troubled. Captain Delano could not understand Don Benito's actions. One minute, the Spaniard was warm and polite. Then, just as quickly, cold and hostile. Captain Delano asked himself, "Why did he refuse to join me? Why is he so unfriendly?" Captain Delano got to the deck and was about to step down into his boat when he heard his name. To his surprise, Don Benito was calling, coming quickly toward him. Captain Delano was pleased and turned back to meet him. Don Benito warmly took his hand with more energy and emotion than he had ever shown. But his excitement seemed too much for him, and he could not speak. Babo then came between the two men and put his arm around Don Benito to support him. Clearly, he wanted to end the meeting between the two captains. Walking between the two men, Babo went with them to the walkway. Don Benito would not let go of Captain Delano's hand. He held it tightly across his servant's body. Soon, they were standing by the ship's side, looking down into the American boat. Its crew turned up their wondering eyes. Captain Delano did not know what to do as he waited for Don Benito to let go of his hand. He wanted to step down into his boat, but Don Benito still firmly held his hand. Then, in an excited voice, the Spaniard said, "I can go no further. Here I must say goodbye. Farewell, my dear, dear Don Amasa. Go, go," and he tore his hand loose. "Go, and God protect you better than he did me. Go, Don Amasa, my best friend." Captain Delano was deeply moved. He would have stayed for another minute or so, but he caught the eye of Babo. It seemed to say, "This is bad for Don Benito's health." And so he quickly took the short step down into his boat with the continuing farewells of Don Benito, who stood rooted at the ship's side. Captain Delano sat down in the back of his boat, gave Don Benito a last salute, and ordered his men to push off. The boat began to move. Suddenly, Don Benito sprang over the side and came down at Delano's feet, and he kept shouting toward the Spanish ship. His cries were so wild that no one could understand him. An American officer asked, "What does this mean?" Captain Delano turned a cold smile upon Captain Sereno and said he neither knew nor cared. "It seems," he added, "that the Spaniard has taken it into his head to give his people the idea that we want to kidnap him. Or else," and suddenly Captain Delano shouted, "Watch out for your lives!" He saw Babo, the servant, on the rail above with a dagger in his hand. He was ready to jump. What followed happened so quickly that Captain Delano could not tell one incident from another. They all came together in one great blur of violent action and excitement. As Babo came down, Captain Delano flung Don Benito aside and caught the rebel leader, pulling the dagger from his hand. He pushed Babo firmly down in the bottom of the boat, which now began to pick up speed. Then Babo, with his one free hand, pulled a second dagger from his clothes and struck at Captain Sereno. Captain Delano knocked it from his hand. Now he saw everything clearly. Babo had leaped into the whaleboat, not to kill him, but to kill Captain Sereno. For the first time, he understood the mysterious behavior of Don Benito, a prisoner under sentence of death. He looked back at the Spanish ship and got a clear picture of what its captain had escaped. On board the San Dominique, the shouting rebels were raising their axes and knives in a wild revolt. They stopped some of the Spanish sailors from jumping into the sea. A few, however, jumped, while two or three who were not quick enough went hurrying up the topmost wood arms. Captain Delano signaled to his ship, ordering it to get its guns ready. When the whale boat reached his ship, Captain Delano asked for ropes. He tied Babo and had him pulled up on deck. A small boat was quickly sent out to pick up three Spanish sailors who had jumped from Captain Sereno's ship. Captain Delano asked Don Benito what guns the rebels had. He answered that they had none that could be used. In the first days of the rebellion, a cabin passenger, now dead, had destroyed the few guns there were. The Americans fired six shots at the San Dominique, but the rebel ship moved out of reach. Small boats were armed and lowered. Captain Delano ordered his men into them, and they moved out to capture the rebel ship. The boats caught up with the San Dominique when it was nearly night. But the moon was rising, and the gunners were able to see where they were shooting. The rebels had no bullets, and they could do nothing but yell. Many of the rebels were killed, and the San Dominique was captured. After an investigation, Babo was found guilty of stealing a ship and of murder and was hanged. Captain Benito Sereno never was well again, and he soon died. So ended the terrible story of the slave revolt aboard the slave ship, the San Dominique.
You have just heard the American story, Benito Sereno. It was written by Herman Melville. Your storyteller was Shep O'Neill. Join us again next week for another American story in VOA Special English. I'm Faith Lapidus.